I
love Christmas. Love everything, most everything about it. One of the things that I have found that I really don't love is that when people are cranky, and I try to make them uncranky, because sometimes they get cranky at Christmas. But one of the things I really love about Christmas is quirky, crazy Christmas songs. Can you imagine? I remember we had made the long trip to Rose's mother's folks, and Adam, I think, is 2 and a half. We go bebopping in the door to her family where we're going to spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and Adam is singing a song. Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Well, the song had just come out, and I've just been singing the song because I thought it was the craziest thing I still sing it, and he goes bebopping in the house and hugs his grandmother who's there at the stove cooking and is singing. She goes, Adam, what do you think? He goes, Grandma got one over by a reindeer. Well, Rose comes in the house and she gets a greeting. I didn't get a greeting. I got a, what'd you teach him that for? Well, I tell you one thing, I'm quick. I said, well, that was for his other grandmother. And then there's the barking jingle bell. Y'all remember that one? Oh, I love the barking jingle bells. And Rose dared me to do it, and I thought, not after they play bells today. Oh, no. I won't do that one. The one you probably haven't really heard is the 12 days after Christmas. When I was in high school, we had one of the finest choirs, concert choirs, anywhere in the nation. We got to travel all over and were recognized, and we learned a Christmas song called The 12 Days After Christmas. And you can find it. I just have never found a DVD of it, but you can find the words of it, but I'll give you just a little of it so you kind of understand the quirkiness of Christmas. On the first day after Christmas, my true love and I had a fight. So I chopped that blasted pear tree down and burned it just for spite. And with a single cartridge, I shot that dadgum partridge that my true love, we are through love, gave to me. And it goes through the whole song and about the rings turning her fingers green. Ladies, some of you know, okay? Well, but when I think of Christmas, one of my favorites is one my mother taught me, not quite as quirky. It was All I Want for Christmas. Some of you remember the song. Some of you go, huh? All I want for Christmas is what? Somebody help me here. My two front teeth so I can wish you Merry Christmas. Well, I find myself singing that song, not that I want my two front teeth or I want dentures or anything, for some of you that can identify with that. But I think of All I Want for Christmas, and usually that'll take me, as I finally get serious, into a really serious moment is, what is it that I want for Christmas? That's a good question. That's a question I want you to be able to ask today, but it's not what do I want from my wife or from my family or from my son or from my church, but what is it that I want or maybe need from Christmas for Christmas this year from my Lord? I know Jesus said it's better to give than to receive, but one of the things Jesus does for us is he does give. He gave himself when he came. It's quite amazing. We'll be looking at it tonight that you think about that the God of glory in all of creation steps down off of his throne in glory and comes down as a babe so that he might experience what we experience. All I want for Christmas. Well, there was a man whose story is found in the Gospel of Luke. He's not one of the really well-known Christmas characters, but I want you to turn to Luke 2 in your Bible. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. And this man whose name is Simeon had an all I want for Christmas from the Lord experience.
You see, Simeon, the scripture tells us, and I'm going to ask you if you can, if you're able, if you'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, I'm going to introduce to you, maybe you don't know Simeon, but if you'll stand with me, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Simeon had been made a promise, and we're going to see about that promise. The Lord had made him a promise. And as Simeon came to his first Christmas, all he wanted was the promise. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name is Simeon, verse 25 of Luke 2. And this man was righteous and devout, and he was looking for the consolation of Israel. Let me stop right there and just say to you, what that means is he was waiting what every faithful Jew was waiting on. He was waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting for Yeshua to come. And so he is devout and looking for that. And I want you to notice what it says. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him in verse 26 by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Christos, the Messiah, the one that they were waiting on. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, we're speaking of Mary and Joseph here, brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he, Simeon, took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel." Verse 33 says, "And his mother and father were amazed at all the things that were being told about him, the child. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, the child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. You may have never read this far. You may know the story of Simeon and maybe Anna, a prophetess who was there. But here is Simeon, a righteous and devout Jew who has been told by God, he's been made a promise. You will not taste death until you see the Messiah. Now, folks, for any Jew, that was maybe the most wonderful promise you could have. You see, Simeon, like other Jews right now, is living under Roman oppression. The Romans were really, they controlled really all of the known world, and they hated the Jews. The Jews were different. They wouldn't worship Caesar, and they just despised them and mistreated them. And here is Simeon. We don't know how long. We don't know when that the Lord had made him this promise. Maybe as a young man, he had had an experience with the Lord. Now, there's some things you need to understand about Simeon. I want us to look so we learn a little bit about him so that we might understand what we might expect from the Lord this Christmas. It says in verse 25, "And the Holy Spirit was upon him." Well, that may not seem like a big deal for you, but ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that the Holy Spirit in those days had not been poured out on all people yet. This is the Old Testament. You say it's a New Testament. No, it's the beginning of a New Testament experience, but the Holy Spirit is not poured out on all flesh, is not given to people until much later after the death of Jesus. So here's a man that the Holy Spirit is resting upon him. It tells us in the Bible that David and Samson and others had the Holy Spirit, but unlike you and I, not everybody who was a faithful Jew had the Holy Spirit. So here's a very special man who has the Holy Spirit upon him, and he had been made a promise. Well, the first thing we learn about Simeon is that through that promise, he was allowing the Holy Spirit to direct him. Because he had been told he would not die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. Well, I don't know about you. Maybe you've had a promise made to you before, and it doesn't come, and it doesn't come, and it doesn't come. Simeon is in the temple that day. Now, what's interesting is we just assume that Simeon thought the Messiah would be a baby. That was the furthest thing from Simeon's mind. In fact, what the Jews were waiting on was the Messiah to come rolling in on a white horse and to throw off the Romans and to battle them and to send them on their way. But here is Simeon in the temple, maybe there for one of the times of prayer, maybe there for sacrifice. And at the temple, coming at that time would have been women and men with their new babies. 33 days after you gave birth, you were, under the Jewish law, required to come and dedicate your child, to offer your child. Now, if you were able, you were to offer a lamb. You were to offer a lamb, but we know that in the story of Mary and Joseph, they were so poor, they could only offer two little turtle doves. And so here is Simeon, he's kind of wandering around the temple, and maybe he's wondering, when is the promise ever come? Maybe he said to himself, like you and I said, it isn't going to happen. You know, my mom and daddy promised me this, or you know, I've been promised this, but it's just not ever going to happen. And suddenly, in walked a little dirty peasant couple. They're not, when I say dirty, I mean they're not royalty. They didn't come in announced. They just come walking in with this baby. And Simeon sees him, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him. You ever had one of those moments when something just in your heart said, this is it? And he sees the babe. What else do we know about Simeon? One, he was willing to wait on the promise. I don't know if God's ever promised you anything. He's promised me some things and others some things. In fact, the Bible is full of promises. The Apostle Paul and all of the disciples had the promise that Jesus was coming back. And yet they all died before he got here. But the promise is still there. For you and I, the promise is out there that Jesus is coming for his church. He may come before this sermon's over. He's coming. And so Simeon held on to the promise and he was willing to wait on God's timing. And I want you to notice again what happened. In verse 27, he says he came into the Spirit, and here come Mary and Joseph. They're still dealing with being told that this child that is born is the Messiah, he's the Son of God. Nobody else knows that. And they're just coming to dedicate their child. And suddenly some man comes up, rushes up and takes the child and begins to praise the Lord and speak of the fact that this isn't just any ordinary baby coming to the temple on an ordinary day. Simeon realizes that he's holding God in the flesh. Emmanuel. And he begins to break forth into praise. He says, now thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to your words, for my eyes have seen my salvation. And he talks about all that Jesus is going to do. But I want you to understand, we're looking at Simeon. Simeon waited on God's promise, and it came. And when it came, he realized. Well, the message today is really pretty simple. What about you? Simeon had waited. Some theologians and some historians say he'd waited for a long time. Others say that, like the wise men, he had been studying the Scriptures and he knew the Messiah. We don't really know how long he'd been waiting. But when he came, Simeon experienced something that everybody who truly meets Jesus, I don't mean that you know about Jesus in your head, but you meet him in your heart. For you see what Simeon said. When he sees this child, he says, Lord, everything I've ever wanted in life is now fulfilled. For a Jew, that was it. To see the Messiah, to know that the Messiah has come. The long anticipated one. And basically, Simeon says this, Lord, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go. Everything I've waited on is fulfilled. You know something? That promise is still out there. And the question for us today is, what about you? What is it maybe that God has promised you that you're still waiting on? And you want it,
this Christmas. You see, there's nothing wrong with asking God for anything. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find, ask and it shall be given, knock and the door shall be opened. Now, don't be like the two little boys that have been asking their mother and daddy for a pony. They wanted a pony for Christmas. Well, the parents had had enough. One of the little boys finally came to the realization he wasn't going to get one, so he just gave up. But the other one said, I'm going to get a pony for Christmas. Well, his daddy decided to teach him a lesson, so he found some pony droppings, put them in a box, wrapped them, and put them under the tree. Well, the little boy grabbed the box, opened it up, and, you know, what would you and I do? We think somebody played a cruel joke. Well, this child was such an optimist, he said, aha! There's a pony in here somewhere! He held on to the promise. Simeon had done that. What about you? What is it you need from Christ this Christmas? You may say, well, I never thought about that. Well, I won't say he's waiting for you to ask him. Well, now don't ask him for a pony, and don't fall into the trap of some of these guys on TV that tell you that if you'll sow some seed into there, you'll get 100-fold. Yeah, you'll get 100-fold. 100-fold in letters from them asking for more money. I can tell you that right now, okay? And you go, you shouldn't make fun of them. Folks, it's the truth. I know personally what they're like. But what is it that you need from Christ this Christmas? What is it you need? Maybe you're saying, well, I need healing in my spirit. It's been a tough year. I'm sad. Jesus, I need you to heal my spirit. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you need a financial miracle. Now, I'm not going to tell you to give, and the Lord will automatically give you. The Bible gives us one very special promise. Jesus said, I will supply all of your needs. Not all your wants, but all of your needs, according to my riches in glory. What is it that you want from the Lord this Christmas? I want you to take some time, not this morning, because I'm through. I want you to take some time and think about that. Over the next few days, over the next whatever time, between now and Christmas, the celebration, what is it you want? Now, let me tell you this. You may not get it this year. But if it's within what the Lord wants to do for you, and the Lord wants to give us good gifts, He wants to give us good things, He doesn't want us all living at Tarawood and driving Bentleys and Rolls Royces. That's not it. What is it you need from the Lord this Christmas? Maybe you need a personal experience with Him. You say, what do you mean by that? Maybe you need to get Him out of here and get Him in here. Is that what you need this Christmas? I want you to take some time over the next few days and ask the Lord that. Lord, this is really what I need this Christmas. And I hope and pray that He'll give it to you. If He doesn't, don't give up. Simeon waited and waited and waited. And the Lord fulfilled His promise. And you continue to pray and you continue to ask. I remember, because some folks say, well, one of the things I asked for one Christmas, before Christmas, was for the Lord to heal my mother. She had been dealing with ovarian cancer. For all practical and purposes, you know, all the word was, she doesn't have a chance. And all I wanted was my mother to be home for Christmas like she had been all those years before. And so I asked the Lord that. My mother died Christmas Eve about 12:50 in the afternoon. And I wondered, Lord, why on Christmas Eve? And it took me a lot of years to finally realize that He gave me my promise that day. You see, my mother was home for Christmas. There are a lot of promises in this book. What is it you need from the Lord? I want you to bow your head just a moment. Maybe you're ready to tell Him. Maybe you're just wanting Him to tell. You see, the Lord will tell you what He wants you to have. And whatever that is, you just ask Him. And then if you'll keep the faith like Simeon did, if you'll let the Holy Spirit direct you, He'll fulfill His promise. It may not be everything you want. I wanted my mother healed and I wanted her home for Christmas, and God gave her the ultimate healing and He took her home for Christmas. And one day, with many, many others who have gone before, I will see her again. God fulfills His promise. So this Christmas, what is it you want from Him? Father, You and I have already shared what I want from You this Christmas. And it will remain between You and I right now. But I praise You for that, for the opportunity to ask You and to hold on to the promise that You'll fulfill it. And I do so in Christ's name. Amen. As we go from here today, I hope that you'll go like Simeon. If today you want the Lord to fulfill your promise or your wish to Him, what you want, you say, well, I want a personal experience with Jesus Christ. It's very, very simple. You just have to say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to just know about You. I want to experience You daily. And in order to do that, you just ask Him. And He'll fulfill it. That is one promise that is never turned down. Maybe you've done that already, but you've never made it public. We've had Brittany come, was it last Sunday? I think Brittany stepped forward and was joining. She made the decision a long time ago to ask the Lord to be her Lord and Savior. And yet she stepped forward to say, I want to follow that with baptism. She wanted to go down into baptism. And the end of the month, if the baby hadn't come, and if she's 12, we're going to do that. Maybe you've said, Lord, I really need a church home or somewhere where people will care about me and minister to me. Well, I'll tell you, if you're looking for a perfect one, don't come here. But if you're looking for one where I think they'll care about you and try to minister to you, maybe God's fulfilling your wish today and you want to come and say, I want to be a part of this place. Whatever it is that you want from Him, if you'll hold on like Simeon, God will fulfill it one way or the other.